Some are refugees fleeing war or persecution. And so in our area, we have Syrians. Of course, we have got to remember that lots of Presbyterians in the past left this area, Ireland, and went to different parts of America, braving the unknown Atlantic to find sanctuary, opportunity, and freedom. And that's what people are doing today. Some have left their home countries and made Ireland their home. People from Iran, people from South America, people from Syria, people from China. Last week, I bumped into someone from South Sudan, someone from South Africa, someone from Uganda. People coming to make Ireland their home. And then sometimes people travel at the call of God. The Lord said to Abram, leave and go. And as part of his call to Abram in Genesis 12, the Lord announces his blessing for all people through this man, Abram, and his family. Let me rewind a moment. In the first part of Genesis, we see God's aim for the world and for human beings. He wants the cosmos to be very good. He wants men and women of all races to be in the image of God. And Genesis 1 to 11 tells us who the nations are and why they need blessing. In these chapters, God deals with the whole of humankind as a group. But we see sin coming in, followed by judgment. But there's also nuggets of grace. And Abram's story is one of those. God's new departure, God's new beginning, removing any doubt about God's intention to bridge the gulf between himself and humankind. So let's think about God's call as seen in the life of Abram. In Genesis 11, verse 31, we read of Terah's family moving from their home in Ur of the Chaldees, and that's on the right-hand end of the Red Crescent. That's ancient Mesopotamia. That's the Euphrates River, the Tigris River, and that whole fertile basin that's there. They move northwest to Haran, and that's the first step. And the way it's told implies that a settled life in the vicinity of a populous area was more congenial than venturing into the unknown, for they'd been city dwellers in that fertile plain. But going to Haran wasn't enough. Notice that it's Abram who moves on from there. Abram who goes further. Terah and Nahor are reluctant to venture beyond Haran. And that highlights something about Abram, something really important. And that is the fact that Abram is obedient to God's call. He goes in obedience to the call of God. This was a once-for-all removal by Abram. It's Abram making a decisive break with the past. For in Ur, and indeed in Haran, the dominant cult was moon worship. So in calling him out, God sets him free from the drag of a familiar culture, and that would be positively harmful to any new start. God was weaning Abram away from his home culture, from the culture and security that home represented. And that meant that each step would require complete dependence on God, this God who had called him that he was just learning about. In a reading from Mark chapter 1, Jesus approaches the fishermen, Simon and Andrew, James and John. By the way, it's unlikely that that was his first encounter with them. Read John chapter 1 to see that. And when Jesus comes to these fishermen, what does he say? Come, follow me. Leave your nets, leave your security, leave your way of life, and come with me and depend on me. There is a sense in which every believer has to abandon the past, to make an about turn and start afresh in the service of Jesus. It may not entail a literal journey. Circumstances may stay as before, but to follow the Lord is as decisive a step as Abram's move from Haran. It's about what or who we depend on for our ultimate security. Where does your ultimate security lie? Family background? Money in the bank? A good home that you have? A nice car? Your position in the community? All these things are transient and passing. Where does your ultimate security lie? When I was 18, preparing to leave school, I found myself heading to a new university in England. It wasn't, in retrospect, a very logical choice, and I'm sure there were people in the family and indeed staff in the school who wondered why. But looking back, that was God taking me away from much that was comfortable and familiar in order to do a work in me. And in that situation, that's what happened. For without having gone there, I wouldn't be here talking to you today. God calls us to come and follow, to set aside all other security, to abandon it, maybe to leave what's familiar in order that he might do a work in us, that he might make us who he wants us to be. But we also see that this is God's call to believe God's promises. Together with his call to leave, God gives Abram some tremendous promises. Let's hear them again. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Look at these promises. People, land, blessing, and best of all, a promise of a relationship with God. This call to new life was a call to receive God's blessing. God would do it. Notice, I will, I will, I will, I will. God is going to do it. God's blessing would be for Abram, for his family, and indeed for all people. Hold on a minute. For his family? There was only Abram and Sarah, we're told, was barren. And it all depended on Abram's obedience. Abram needed to allow God to be the director of his life, and then the evidence of his working would become obvious to all. In obedience, there'd be blessing. But this new land wasn't utopia, for we read at the end of verse 6, the Canaanites were in the land, and they would be a constant challenge to Abram and to his family. And Abram would make mistakes. Read beyond verse 10 and read of Abram's response to famine, how he went to Egypt, and what fear caused him to do in respect of Sarah. But God stepped in and rescued Abram from that mistake. And God continued to work with Abram through many ups and downs. If you know the Abram story, you'll know some of those. And God will work with us through many ups and downs. Abram remains an example of faith. For despite every setback, he retains the hope that his promise, the promise that God gave him, will be fulfilled. How do we think of God's promises? When we read the scriptures, do we hear them? Do we trust in them? Notice that Jesus says to the fishermen, I will make you fishers of men. I will make you. I will work in you. And then in John chapter 1, Jesus says to Simon, you are Simon. You will be Peter, meaning a rock. God is at work in his people. These promises are really important. And just a word from John Stott. It may truly be said without exaggeration that not only the rest of the Old Testament, but the whole of the New Testament are an outworking of these promises of God. That's Genesis 12, verses 2 and 3. Read them again. And remember how Jesus tells his disciples, you are the light of the world. Not you can be, but you are the light of the world. God's promises are trustworthy. And the third point and final one, God calls Abram to commit to a new journey. So simply we read in verse 4, so Abram left as the Lord had told him. And then in verse 7, the Lord appeared to him and said, to your offspring I will give this land. He traveled 400 miles from Haran down into the Jordan Valley to the well-established town of Shechem, which is near modern-day Nablus, a town that would be dominated by alien gods, like all the cities of the world today. But Abram doesn't stay there. He's on a new journey. And notice the phrases, sent out, traveled, went on, they're repeated. And as he goes, he builds altars. Now, it doesn't really matter what they look like, but what it does matter is that they are places where he meets God, where God appears to him and reaffirms those promises. Many might think of Abram as a nomad, but his traveling was not because he liked traveling, but because God called him. And so he travels through the land. Hearing God's promises and trusting in them means being on a journey of faith, pilgrimage. Where are the places that God might have fulfilled his promises to you? Where are the little memorials to God's promises? Are they a beacon to you for the times when there seems to be no word from the Lord? For pilgrims, the most challenging part of the journey of faith is the space between the altars. Maybe long days, months, even years, when there seems to be no word from the Lord and faith is tested. In that time, it's good to listen to others who are also traveling the journey of faith, to hear their story and to be encouraged by them. And what about that call to be disciples? In his gospel, Mark echoes God's call to Abram. Simon and Andrew were fishing. James and John preparing to fish. Christ calls, come, follow me. Come, depend on me. Come on the journey of faith with me. And they respond with radical obedience. Christ still calls. And Christ calls us to abandon all other security, to believe God's promises, and to commit to a new journey with Him. A journey with ups and downs, yes, but a journey on which He travels with us. Abram left a place of comfort and prosperity in answer to the call of God. Where might God be calling us to go? Might He be calling us to come to Himself? Might He be calling us to cross boundaries into other cultures? Maybe across this triangle area? Or maybe just across the street? Amen. Let us pray. Lord, You are the initiator. You're the one who initiates our faith. You're the one who begins our journey, because You're the one that calls us. Father, give us ears to hear. Give us hearts that are open. And give us wills that are willing to submit to You as You lead us on the journey of life. We pray in His name. Amen.